Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Renergen is a favorite of retail investors, and we certainly cannot ignore the news that this company is more than just hot air on Sens. Balloon enthusiasts rejoice. There is finally helium. The Virginia Gas Project is in operation, and shareholders have breathed a collective sigh of relief, especially after that share price came under some pressure towards the end of 2022, as delays crept into the project and Sens updates seemed to dry up. We had a number of retail updates on the JSE last week in the aftermath of the Mr. Price bloodbath, and I'll start with the Fashini Group, or TFG, an acronym I certainly approve of for obvious reasons. I also approve of the sales numbers, actually, with like-for-like growth in TFG Africa of 5.7% for the quarter. Homeware managed to grow 3.4%, bucking the trend in the market of people slowing down their homeware shopping after they stocked up in COVID. With 70% of turnover protected by energy backup solutions, the company has taken load shedding in its stride. It's not all rainbows, though. There is a 100 basis points drop in TFG Africa's gross margin, so sales over Black Friday and the festive season did come at a price. TFG London, that managed to grow just 2%, and TFG Australia grew by 20.9% with heavy lockdowns in the base period. Remember, TFG has also been on an acquisition spree, buying Tapestry Home Brands and now announcing the acquisition of 114 Street Fever stores. But unlike Mr. Price, the core business at TFG is also doing well. Moving on to Truworths, and that company delivered even more of a positive surprise, because this company trades on a modest multiple, as investors just don't give much credit to the growth story. Although we do not have numbers for the festive season specifically, the interim 26-week period saw retail sales growth of 13% on a comparable basis, with strong growth at those sorts of levels both in South Africa and in the UK. In this case, 77% of turnover is protected by power backups. With HEPS growth for the interim period of between 8% and 11%, the share price jumped by more than 4% on the day as investors got excited at the prospect of growth in a company that trades on such a low multiple. Moving to a different kind of retailer and one on a very high multiple, Clicks achieved turnover growth of 7.8% in the 20 weeks to 15 January, provided we exclude vaccination turnover from the base, which is a reasonable thing to do. Retail sales were up 12.2% and wholesale turnover didn't do so well, leading to that blended outcome in the sort of mid-single digits. We will have to wait for results in April to see what actually happened in wholesale. In retail, though, we know that volumes were higher, with like-for-like sales growth of 8.9% versus selling price inflation of 6.8%. Now, as mentioned, Clicks tends to trade on a very high multiple, and it is a favorite of international investors in particular, perhaps because it looks like good value when you do a global screen of these sorts of companies. In our last retail update this week, we look at furniture retailer Lewis. This is a pretty decent barometer for the health of low-income consumers, and I'm afraid that I'm not coming to you with much good news. In the 9 months to December, sales were only up by 2%. Same-store sales barely moved, up 0.4%. And here's the worrying bit. Credit sales increased by 16.8%, but cash sales fell by 13.5%. And that tells you a lot about consumer affordability. The silver lining here is that collections are good, which means that Lewis is at least getting its money in from those who bought on credit. But the bigger question is whether or not that will last. We end off with a couple of cyclical companies, and the first one is Astral Foods, a poultry business with tight margins that creates a huge operating leverage effect. This means that profit can swing violently based on relatively modest changes in revenue. Load shedding is disastrous for this business, as is the impact of higher feed costs. There are a lot of fat, loss-making chickens at Astral right now because of a backlog in the slaughter program. Along with a higher cost to feed those chickens, Astral is now making a loss of 2 rand per kilogram on every chicken sold. Clearly, that is not sustainable. The obvious suggestion is just to put prices up, but South African consumers are in no condition to absorb those increases. For the 6 months to March, headline earnings per share will drop by up to 90%. Astral needs a change in fortunes, and quickly. Our second cyclical business this week is also our last company for this week, and that is ArcelorMittal, where HIPS is expected to nosedive by between 60 and 65%. This has been driven by the decline in global steel prices and the impact of energy inflation on operating costs. To add insult to injury, there was also destocking by local customers and a shortage of road trucks for deliveries, so it all went wrong here. On the plus side though, the company has such a history of battering its investors at the wrong end of the cycle that management points out the resilience of the company in this crisis versus the crises that have come before it. And this is the joy with cyclical businesses. When it goes well, it goes very well. But when it goes badly, it gets ugly. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.